Yeah. You want me to just let me know when you want me to start playing the audio.
Go, and I'll count in 20 seconds.
This is off GTA 5. You guys can't hear it, but the stream can. This is a great song.
Get this thing going. Hello, good evening, and welcome to the Overseas Connection podcast, the official podcast of G4TE.com, a mature gaming community, where we are supposed to be well-skilled, well-educated, know how to make the internet work. But tonight, of course, we've had to go old school because the internet is not playing around with us properly tonight. So, yeah, we have no video tonight. Audio only. We'll see how well that keeps on going. It's Robin Tate here in Ballymena, Northern Ireland, at Bongo the Sean, pretty much everywhere on gaming and on the internet. And we have a fantastic crew tonight. We have something old, something new, something borrowed, and something definitely blue. So I'm going to introduce them around. First of all, we have our wonderful Nicole Radowski. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
I'm stressing. It's not mic gate, but yeah, you know, it's been, we're almost an hour into the recording. We're only starting recording.
It's video gate this time.
Video gate, yeah. Have you had a good week?
Pretty much, yeah. My daughter has sprained her finger, and she's the goalie, so she sprained it in soccer today.
Oh, no.
No, and then she has tryouts for the select team, which is the tournament team, tomorrow.
And this is like a real game. This is football.
Yeah, soccer, football, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, well, bounce back. Rubber fingers, so they bounce back quick, don't they?
Yeah, well, she's going to play with her fingers taped together. She played this whole game today, hour and a half, finger sprained the entire game.
Well, yeah, that could go two ways, I mean, because if her team are very, very good and they're keeping it all up the far end, she won't really have to worry about it in goal. But if the team were really bad and she had to save a lot of goals, well, you know. Anyway, yeah. God bless her. We also have Kim, Gamer Girl. Good evening, Kim. How are you?
Howdy, everybody. Oh, I'm good. I got my whiskey. We got the podcast going. It's all good.
Yeah, that's good. And just a few minutes before we started the podcast, it seemed to the last hour of a blur, I heard a lawnmower. Now, who was that? Is that the help? Who is that?
Yeah, I wish. No, that was my brother-in-law. He came up to mow the yard. What little yard we have left since we're building the house, but he came up to mow the yard. So
it's been really odd because this week we've had quite a bit of lawnmower action. I seen on our WhatsApp group, we had photographs of a brand new lawnmower, which was brought into our podcast team, and I think Nicole got a new lawnmower this week.
Yeah, I did.
Goodness. Yeah, it's that time of year now. The grass
my
is starting to
gorgeous.
Grow.
Gorgeous.
Goodness. And we also have Richard Webster, man in the decks, as what they are. Hey, Richard.
Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you?
This is a satellite delay. This is Eurovision Song Contest. Richard, will you give me your scores for the north of England?
Nil pois
so far. I think I would totally agree with that. The redeeming factor of this podcast tonight is that we have a man who... It's just words can't describe the sleeping bags, sleeping action, the frolics and drunkenness, the debauchery, the wonderful, wonderful descriptions of games, and the We have the fantastic Richard Primrose Skulduggar on the show tonight, everybody. Richard, give us a shout out there, sir.
You still going then? Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Glad you're still here. Yeah, nice one. I dreamt that I peed my pants this week, and I've been going... I've been going to bed nervous ever since. I keep thinking I'm going to pee the bed. That's my story for tonight.
When was the last time you actually did pee the bed, Richard? Can you tell us that? Yeah.
Have I ever done that? Yeah, I think I did it when I was 18. I went to Benidorm. Yeah, there was about 12 of us all watching rooms and stuff.
We're all pissing in the bed at the same time.
No, luckily I wasn't sharing my bed with anybody else at the time. I did have a plastic spear with me, but yeah.
Plastic spear.
Yeah,
I went out with a girl once who did that. It was very strange. In the middle of the night, this warm feeling down my leg as I spooned.
Was it a plastic spear?
That's because I thought she went to bed with a plastic spear, but all right.
What's Kiki, but all right. I mean, if there's a group of lads, a plastic spear is probably coming at some stage or another, especially in Benidorm, Matt. Did you have a hanky on your head, Richard?
I did it during that holiday. I did have a bandana on my head, but not that night. I got my eyebrow shaved as well. Somebody cut my eyebrow off when I was asleep. Just one, mind.
Oh, flip me.
No, they always do that, just the one.
Yeah, just
the one.
Then you've got the dilemma of whether you do the other one or not. So instead, I wore sunglasses everywhere. I went out clubbing with sunglasses on. I was swimming around in the pool with sunglasses on. It was, it's quite ridiculous. But hey, we're all young.
Well, look, as it is, this is the Overseas Connection podcast tonight. This is the crew. We're going to make it as good as we possibly can. Mr. DeLacy is away drinking cocktails this evening, and I hope he's having a great time. and the podcast is in good hands tonight. So, all the things, stuff that I've been up to this week, been a crazy busy week, but today we had a nice sort of family day, and we were in IKEA. One of the reasons why we evacuated the house today is the farmer was in the field spreading, and my God, does that smell. Dear God.
That is the field right behind me.
Flip an egg, Tucker. So we disappeared to IKEA, which is similar to having a root canal, but not just as bad, because you have those weird little Swedish meatballs and the jam stuff and gravy that seems to be some sort of thing that comes out of a car's axle. and I ate 15 of those wee morsels, and it was fabulous. So we walked around there, and we bought a few bits and bobs and a picture frames and stuff, the crap that you don't need to buy at IKEA, but it got us out. But on the way home, we took all the kids to see The Lion King. Oh, God. I got to say, guys, The Lion King was brilliant. It was really, really good. And for me...
Hold on a minute. Hold on. Yeah. Robin, you've got...
Lion King?
Shit! I've done it again!
Yeah, I was like, Jungle Book, maybe?
I could have had a... We went to see The Jungle Book, not The Bloody Lion King. I think I'm just fixated with...
Lions, apparently.
Yeah, it must be. Anyway, we went to see The Jungle Book. And The Jungle Book is brilliant. And the original cartoon, the 67 cartoon, is just classic. And for me, I mean, this was really good. It was exciting. It's almost 2 hours long, and it felt like a click of a fingers. But as far as IT is concerned, they got that perfect. Because for one of the very first times, I think, ever in a movie, I just could not tell. I know those animals couldn't be talking. They couldn't be real. But there was no uncanny valley whatsoever. It just looked just spot on. Just unbelievable, the technology, the way it's came on, and computer graphics. And it was great. And the Bill Murray playing Baloo. You know, I love Bill Murray. Bill Murray's brilliant, man. Your woman, Johansson, Scarlett Johansson, was the snake. And Ben Kingsley was the Black Panther guy, Bagheera. But it was very, very, very good. So I would recommend. There's a few sort of perilous bits in it, but it's not that scary for young kids. But it was great fun today. So then back home, a few beers and podcasting disasters. busy week. But I want a wee quick shout out. First of all, just at the top of the show, I want to shout out Nicholas Morbay. Nicholas, thank you very much, mate. Nicholas threw some money at the podcast prize fund. That's what we use for Victory Achieved and all the other different little competitions that we have. And that was just a lovely, nice gesture, Nicholas. I'm very, very much appreciated. And if you want to drop some money, we're not asking you to, but if you want to drop some money in the podcast, you can do it at podcast.g4te.com. And again, we spin it straight back into the community again. Anyway, gaming-wise, we've all been up to stuff. I'll just tackle this on the way it's on the list. And I know, Nicole, you want to talk about something very close to your heart.
Always.
Yeah. And I'm looking at him.
You can, I'm like, you can leave me till after Kim, so Kim can lead into it, and I can finish it up.
All right, okay, fair enough then. Kim, what have you been up to this week, game-wise?
Oh, let's see, what have I been up to? I started playing LetterQuest, Grimm's Journey Remastered. It's a cute little, like, bookworm-type game. You know, you make a word, and you slay some monsters, and you go on.
Seriously? Hold on. Whoa, stop. What, this is bloody Scrabble RPG. Is this the thing?
Yes.
Is this it? You bought that shit after what we said about it last week. It was the lowest common denominator in a game. They're scraping the barrel for a game, and Kim went and got it.
There's bacon. That...
Okay, forgiven.
There's bacon in it. No, I guess I missed last week's show. I didn't hear that part. But no, I don't know. Like I said, I used to play Bookworm on the computer an awful lot. So for me, this what brought that back. And like I said, it's kind of like Frozen Snowball Fight. It's, you know, I can play an hour or so and shut it off and walk away. No big deal. So there was that.
So what is it? So... It is when I say it's like Scrabble, you kill monsters by spelling words. I take it you have to do it under pressure. Is that it? So you type bacon and the monster explodes.
Yeah, pretty much. You type in bacon, you hack at the monster, it takes him down a certain amount of points, and you keep spelling words till eventually you kill the monster. So there's no real time limit, so you can pretty much take as long as you want, at least as far as I could tell, to spell a word.
Have you tried the extremes yet? Have you tried the if you see K, tell her I want her?
No, I haven't done that yet. I'll have to now, though. So, but surprisingly not. No, I haven't tried that. But
the first thing I would have done.
apparently you're worse off than I am. I don't know.
Yeah.
But like I said, I spent like I don't know what was it like $10. I don't know. It might have been a little higher than that. It wasn't a whole lot of money thrown at it. So, I
game
figured
year,
what the hell.
Yes, right
yes. It'll be game of the year, yes.
With the snowball game as well, the frozen one, yeah. Yeah,
exactly,
definitely.
Right up there with the frozen snowball fight, yep, game of the year right there. Just take my gamer card now, you know.
All right, okay, well, this is a week of betas, so I see you've been at the Battleborn beta.
I was, and I don't know, I went in it kind of hesitant because I heard people say it was all right, yada yada. Anyway, I started the story mode, and the story mode's okay, and it was better once I got somebody else in there to play with me. But then we decided to stop the story mode, and we went to multiplayer. Yeah, I'm not keen on their multiplayer. It wasn't my thing. So
I did play the alpha. If I'm right, I didn't play the beta, but it is you're herding little minions from one side of the map to the other, and they have to go through a little door, and you have to keep them safe from the other team who tries to attack. And you can set up tower defense stuff as you go along, stuff like that.
Yep.
So it is Dota MMO on a path, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But it really felt like it was a spin-off of Borderlands.
Yeah.
You know, it felt the weapons quite a lot felt like a bit Borderlands-y and I don't know. I've
dialogue
heard some people,
was.
Yeah, I've heard some people say, wouldn't it have been a far better idea than instead of a new IP doing a slight spin-off Borderlands thing? Can we call it Borderlands Go or something, or Borderlands Team Effort or something like that there? Yeah.
I wasn't keen on it either.
I'm in the same boat you are. I think they would have been better off just going on and like making Borderlands 3, you know, or something, because... Like I said, this is almost like Borderlands Light. The only thing that seems like that they managed to keep out of it was the cursing. And even then, eventually, you know, they even started that. So it's like, okay, so what's the difference between this and Borderlands? And Borderlands was better. So, yeah.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah. Now, reading in the news today, and it's of no surprise, when they finish the game and DLC, they are starting on Borderlands 3. They've announced that now, so... No, there's no big surprises there that they're actually going to do that, but yeah. Because, I mean, there's Battleborn and there's Overwatch, and they both mm-hmm. seem to fill similar space. And I gotta say, I don't know, the community will be split, but the Blizzard thing, I would give them more credentials for this sort of game than Gearbox. So we'll see. I don't know. Gearbox, you know, Borderlands seems to have been it with Gearbox. Yeah, I know that, you know, Aliens Colonial Marines, obviously one of the best games ever made. And of course, it's due an HD remake has to come. But they didn't really have a lot to do with it. That, you know, with this old Sega tie-up, and they'd farmed it all out. But what really have they done, apart from the old school stuff way, way back, apart from Borderlands? So, yeah, it's nice to see they're trying something different here, but I just can't see it.
It's the mark.
It's like a rehash of Borderlands, so they're not really getting very far out of their comfort zone if they're wanting to do something new. So,
yeah, that's what I mean, is why maybe they should have give it every piece of effort that they could have, tied the Borderlands name to it somehow or another, because it is worth something. You know, Borderlands people would have bought this if that was the case.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Okay, you've been revisiting an old one, I see there. But
yeah,
New DLC.
Yeah, I went back into Dragon Age because I got all the DLC, but I stopped after a while, took a break, played some other things. So now I'm back. I'm playing The Descent now, which is, I guess you'd call it the dungeon crawling aspect, I guess, of the game, because you go into the deep woods and pretty much they send waves after waves of bad guys after you that you have to take care of in order to get further into it. So, and it's pretty good. I went into it pretty scared because, you know, some people were like, well, they didn't like it because there was so much fighting and this, that, and the other, and then other people, you know, loved it. So I thought, all right, I'll dip my toe in it and see how it goes.
How much time have you spent with it? All together, not just as DLC, but in Quizzywig?
About 300 hours.
Fuck a duck. Seriously, yeah. 300 hours.
And I'm not done yet. Like I said, I've got to finish The Descent, and then there's Trespasser after that. So, and I could drag it out for, you know.
Me? What is the longest time, Nicole, you have spent in a game? What would be the big game for you? That way,
it would be Gears. The one game alone, I have 180 hours in. Yeah, look, it's 182 or 3 hours.
Yeah, well, I'm just looking there.
Yeah,
I've 100
one game,
178 hours in Forza 6, and probably the same amount of time and more in Forza 5. And Forza 4 as well. Forza Motorsport 5. Let me see if I have of that. It's just nutty. Forza Motorsport 5.
Well, I'm sure with Gears 3, I'm in the 200s.
Jeez. I was going to say, we played a lot of Gears 3, so yeah.
I probably, because if you guys remember, and I know Kim does, I got to level 53, lost my entire character, it reset my character. And now I'm level 84. I just hit 84 the other day. So I've gone 53 and then done it again to 83 with the same character again.
Huh.
Yeah, because well, myself is the character technically, but you know what I mean.
I suppose for all of us, we have our safe games, our places that we go on, and then Quizzywig is that one for you, Kim? Really, it seems to be.
It is. that is my game, so.
Wow.
Her boyfriend lives in it.
That's true. Yeah, my fictional boyfriend lives there, so, you know. Gotta go visit him every now and again, make sure he's not venturing off the farm, as it were. So. Hey, you know, this does sound bad, but, you know, hardly dance at 1,000 hours in Guild Wars 2, so.
But have you played, 3? Witcher. Have you played The Witcher?
Yes, I've started The Witcher, but I haven't finished it yet. So I'm sure I'll have just as many hours probably in it as I have in this one. So.
And what is
Skyrim.
Is it the escapism, Kim, of the fantasy games? Do you feel yourself really taken on board the character traits? And
you get in these games and you get sucked into them. And, I mean, I can lose myself in there for hours. I mean, if somebody could be standing out my door, you know, pounding on the door, are you ever going to come out here? Yeah, you know, just give me a minute. I got to go kill this dragon and, you know, go on the side quest for this dude and this, that, and the other. And 3 hours later, I might decide to, you know, come out of the hermit cave and be sociable. So,
a DHL man left long ago, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was bad enough when the first Dragon Age came out. I started at, 5 o'clock in the morning, and I think I stayed up all night, and I didn't shut it off till like 10 o'clock the next morning. So it's pretty easy for me to get lost in those type of games and just keep going. So.
Well, yeah, you get your pleasure where you find it. That's
cool. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Okay, so the biggie, and I Gears of War beta here. So
yep.
I got my code, right? I got my code for the Gears of War beta, and I was really looking forward to it. I knew it was going to take me a couple of days to download the bloody thing. So I redeemed my code on the Xbox and waited patiently for it to appear in my queue, and it never did.
Oh, no.
So I didn't get to play it because of that. But you guys have. So
yes.
Tell us all about Gears of War, babies.
It's well.
It's my first go with Gears of War 4 was pretty glitchy, so you know that was kind of a bad start. But other than that, once you finally got past the glitchiness and found a game that you know you could actually play in without running into walls or being shot at and not realizing you were shot until it popped up on the screen you were dead, I'm enjoying it. I missed Gears, so I'm excited.
What was the glitchy stuff? What was glitchy?
Oh, what wasn't glitchy?
I was gonna say it's easier to tell you what wasn't glitchy than what was, because it was all sorts of glitchy.
Was it the menus or was it the graphics or what? You know, what sort of stuff? Examples of or please.
Oh, everything.
I'll do the examples. Yeah, I'm like,
righty,
I'll do the examples.
For it.
So we're sitting in the main screen, of, you know, waiting to get a game together, and this is me and Greg, and I'm like. The two characters are JD, which is Marcus Fenix's son, and then one of the... They're not Locust this time. What are they? They changed the name of them.
Was it Swarm?
Swarm. Yeah, I think it's Swarm. So one of those guys, and they're doing the little battle with the chainsaws on the guns. Mm-hmm. Well, all I have for a second is a gun. Oh, and then there's JD. Oh, and then there's another gun. But JD's gone... And then the swarm guy shows up, and it just kept flipping between the graphics, back and forth, back and forth. I'm like, well, that's not good. So Greg and I start up a game, and I posted a video on my Twitter. So if you guys want to go see, it's OC_Amaryllis on Twitter. You can go see this little video that I posted. And it looks like I'm fast-forwarding the 5 seconds that I show on there. But it's actually the 5 seconds of it in normal mode. I haven't fast-forwarded it. It was just that bad. And it's just like picture after picture where it's like there's part of the building and then it's gone and then part of something else and it's gone and part of a wall and it's gone. I mean, it's just like boom, 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 boom. And there are times where you start in one spot and you're shooting somebody and the next thing you know, you're dead because that somebody else just, boom, shot up right behind you, and they weren't there 5 seconds ago. Like, they just showed up at war.
Just rewinding back to what you were saying about, I mean, because I haven't touched any of this. Is anything changed with the mechanics or anything? You know, play-wise, right?
Play-wise, they did a couple of things different, but otherwise it still feels like the same game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's not like, there was something, they have some new weapons, and then the weapons don't quite feel like they shoot the same.
Mm-hmm.
They're a little, like they're underpowered almost.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because I'm shooting a shotgun, a Nasher shotgun, which should take maybe one shot in the head when you're right up on them, and I'm doing 3 or 4 shots. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. It's like I'm 10 feet away is what it feels like when I'm right up on this guy, and I should have gotten him, and I didn't.
So, Nicole, is this, can you put this down to this is a beta, and it's a true beta, and there were bugs
yes.
in it?
And oh, yeah. That's the first thing I said. I was like, look, I love Gears, and I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. This is the beta. And they want us to find these things. And it's a multiplayer-only beta. So they're working out the kinks in that section of the game.
The map's dynamic again. They've got, like, weather that comes through and stuff like that.
So far, it's
not
only
that
the
I've noticed.
So far it's only the three maps, and they're not dynamic. No, which that was one of the things I loved was like the tornado one and the sandstorm. That was so awesome. Those were a lot of fun to play on. So, but no, not yet. But I don't know that they were ever. I don't think we did. They do them in Horde or multiplayer.
I can't remember.
I think it was Horde only.
Sandstorm was in multiplayer, I can remember that.
Was it multiplayer? Again, I don't remember because multiplayer is not my favorite. But there's three different multiplayers you can play in this beta. Dodgeball, which you only get the five people, and once you're out, you actually have to kill somebody in order to get another person on your team back into the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I think, Kim, did we play a couple rounds of that?
I don't think I did. I just did the AI, and then we played a couple with the actual people.
Okay, so I played by myself. I played dodgeball by myself. No. And I got out of dodgeball real fast. I remember going, oh, this is not the mode for me. But you and I played the other two, the hardcore and the standard multiplayer, the team deathmatch.
So I suppose the biggest question, there was a rumor, and I don't think it was announced, even looking around there, that they were going to announce Horde mode for 4. That was one of the big announcements. I don't know if did anybody hear that was announced this week? Because I think that's almost, has to be a prerequisite of 4. After the fun they had with 3.
They invented, that's exactly what we were talking about the other day, huh, Kim? They invented Horde. That was their go-to thing. They started it, and if they don't put it in 4, that would be the dumbest thing ever. So they have to announce it. Just logistically speaking, they have to announce it. They are the ones that created it, and it's been expected every single game, and it's expected in this one. Definitely. I think it would do more harm than good to not have it.
Yeah, before the template of Epic, though, what they'll do is they always drip feed it. They'll drip feed. They always start with a multiplayer, and then it's like when we had E3 and stuff like that, then they'll come out and make the announcement for whatever mode they're putting in for, like Horde and stuff like that. So I mean, what's the release date on it?
It's is it October 7th or October 10th? Yeah.
They got plenty of time. They'll probably save it for the summer, drag it out in E3 or something.
Yeah, I'd say there'll be a big showing this year in E3. I did hear some interviews with some of the main developer guy who left Epic and came back to work for Microsoft. Forget his name, I'm sorry. but he was saying that some of the questions he was asked was, I mean, do they regret the demo that they showed at E3 last year? And he said pretty much, yeah. He says, we kind of showed the wrong thing. In hindsight, they should have showed something that wasn't just as dark, but they were trying to just sort of show the middle ground for everything, but they should have struck a really strong path, reinforced that this Gears was going to be more like 3 again, but they didn't, because it was pretty weak what they showed last year, you know?
I can't remember how iconic some of them adverts were and stuff as well, and they didn't touch on, you know, you would have been looking at something that was either very minimal, had a high impact, which it wasn't, or something that's going to give you a broad idea of what this, or tease the storyline. You know, how do the opposition come back into it? Because at the end of the day, you wiped them out, didn't you?
Rich, did the characters look like Marcus Fenix? Did they look all overbulked? Or, again, you know, are they superhuman? Or did they look like normal guys, the young son?
In the first trailer.
In the game, the girl doesn't have those big, bulky arms like Anya does. She looks more, I don't know, like she's got natural muscle tone.
Oh,
and then,
not on steroids.
One of the, Yeah, not on roids. The others look like they're a little bit on the bulky side, but I would say it was I don't think they're nearly what they were in previous games. Mm-hmm. I don't think so. But I wasn't really looking at their muscles. I'm sorry.
That's a surprise.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I was paying attention to gameplay and not looks. I know, surprising, since graphics is my thing.
It's still got that sepia look to it, so everything looks like it's like, not monotone, but like duotone with little hints of colour and stuff.
It's still very similar, but I think, honestly, it's a little brighter than because I'm playing 3 again now and 1 again because I can. And it's not as, I know what you mean. It has like a little dark shadow to it. Like everything's sort of like, I don't know, like it's cloudy or something.
Yeah, but, grimy maybe, yeah.
Yeah. But it seems like the colors seem to be just a tad bit brighter, but not, I don't think anything anybody would notice off, you know.
And
the comic book type look to it as well, isn't it? So.
Oh, yeah, but that's their trademark.
Yeah.
And you're working your way through Gears 1 and 3 again, full story mode or multiplayer? What are you doing there?
Well, I'm doing Gears 1 because I was doing the Gears Ultimate. So I was just screwing around going, oh, yeah, I'll play it again.
Yeah.
Why not? And Viva, oh my gosh, let me see if I can say this right. What is it? Viva Las Pedros. Yeah, Viva La Pedros. Is that his name?
Yeah,
the Trish
Skills
guy. We'll just go with that. Because
yeah.
I don't want to mess that up. He is talking about playing it, and I have offered up. I'm like, I will so play Gears 1, 2, and 3 with you again. But I've been playing Gears 3 with the girls, Janine, Jade Archer, and Donna, No Control. And we've invited Kim.
I know. I will show up, I promise.
I don't think the True Skills guys have the balls to play Gears with us. Cause,
I was hoping to be able to
we're
teach.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's why.
How to play a little bit. So that, you know, maybe they could hold their own just a little. I was trying to be nice here. But, no, the girls and I are playing Gears 3, but we're doing the Horde, and we've been playing the Big Head mode. Do y'all remember that mode?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Oh, my God, that's freaking, I forgot how hilarious it was. Like, you hear Anya, and she's got the teeny tiny little voice, and then she's like the last night I got shot with a torque bow. And she's like, mother. I'm like, where the hell did that come from? We just start cracking up. And these guns these guys have are like 15 times the size of them. And they got giant heads and giant feet. And then these voices are all squeaky. So when they say F you, it's really real high squeak. It sounds like Minnie and Mickey Mouse cursing people. It's like, and it's hilarious to hear. So we've been having our own.
Gears 3 still looks pretty good as well.
Oh, yeah. It's a little, it got a little glitchy.
Oh.
So other than that, though, it's been a blast.
Okay. Anything else, Nicole?
Rocket League. I was playing because we're going to be playing True Skills. So I went ahead and practiced a little.
Is that me?
Yeah.
We'll talk more about True Skills a bit later on. Okay. Thanks very much. Mr. Primrose, what have you been at? And tell us about what you've been doing, because you're back on Xbox One now, which is fantastic. You're back in the real world.
Yes.
We did bump into each other last night in Division.
Yeah.
And you were telling me that you were playing Destiny and going down that slippery slope. So what's happening there? And is it good to be back on Xbox One again, or back on the gaming scene?
I'm not going into loads of detail about like actually hooking one up and all of that stuff. But yeah, I mean, got one at Christmas, so got a good chunk of games and stuff to play on it. But because of all the chat that was going, I've been listening to all the podcasts and stuff whilst I've been away from the new consoles. One of the things I did want to try, because there was so much talk and debate about Destiny and whether it was good or not. Giant Bomb were going backwards and forwards about whether it was good or not. So I picked it up and I got hold of it for $9.99. But I played the beta of Division, and that was one of the things that got me thinking, oh, yeah, I'll pick a copy of that up because it's supposed to be similar to what the Division is.
Mm.
I think Division's head and shoulders above it, to be fair. The connective issue of Destiny is terrible. The way you're always in load screens, going backwards and forwards, collect missions and move around the worlds and stuff it just doesn't feel like what I would rather play something like Borderlands.
Yeah.
But even if you're just operating with less people on servers and stuff, but geez.
Destiny fans, even Borderlands sort of had those sort of hubs, you know, like where you went and picked up missions, the towns that you're in. And yeah, look, I have Destiny. In fact, I bought it twice and I still haven't. I haven't actually finished that first mission. I just didn't get it. And I think that's the Division thing, because it's a bit more grounded as well. And it's space wizards and wizards from the moon, and I don't know.
I'm quite forgiving of all that sort of stuff, but I mean, the key thing I was looking at was like the mechanics of it. The AI and stuff, I think it's trying to be a bit like Rage was very good with having intelligent, like, AI patterns and stuff, you know.
Good point, yeah.
And you was getting a lot of flexibility in what you was fighting against. This, it just seems like a lot of it, the way you get around it is just backing off and hiding behind columns and stuff, and they don't seem willing to come forward and, you know, pull you out of your cover, and it just didn't strike me as being very challenging. You know what I mean?
I think the most fun that people found in Destiny, because there really wasn't anything else like that on the consoles, really, apart from Borderlands, was in a group with a group of mates. I think that's when Mark Annex and I think even Nicole, did you play quite a bit of it?
Which?
Destiny? No?
Oh, yeah. Destiny. Yeah. Well,
But it was in a group, because I can play the Division quite happily, like I was last night, farting about by myself, doing wee side missions and other bits and pieces. But Destiny, I just found it wasn't a fun thing to play by yourself.
No, I didn't like it by myself. But I had a blast if I was like with Womble or Mark Annex, anybody, Shiny, it didn't matter, as long as we weren't by ourselves. Kim and I'd play, Michael Brashler and I'd play. As long as I had somebody to chat with, it was all right.
Mm.
There's not much by way of any sort of tutorial to show you what you're doing. You can see there's some sort of crafting elements going to come in and stuff like that. The guns, which is what I was hearing, was like the big pull for people to try and get better guns and all that lot. They don't seem as varied as... And I've been mixing up which ones I'm playing with, like the pistol, these pulse rifles and stuff. And it's just not grabbing me. But the whole thing with the Division is it just seems to connect to people like that. You can roam around, spend hours like dropping in and out. And it's almost like free roaming what you'd see in GTA. But when you hit like a major mission, it's got an intuitive like menu system where you can just say, right, I want to jump in with some randoms, even if you ain't got people online. And you can just, like, spend an hour or so going in with somebody else and trying to, you know...
Yeah. And in itself, it's not doing anything really original, but it's taking the best things from lots and lots of games and tacking them all together in a system that works really, really well.
Yeah, it's very...
I hated that game.
What, The Division?
Yes.
Yeah, well... Even
I know, everybody's got their own, though.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm thoroughly enjoying my time with it, so.
Yeah, I like it. I really like the design side of it as well. I think they've done a really good job. They've not put too much pressure on themselves with having to have loads of bodies wandering around the world and stuff. But that's worked with the story. And that... gives a nice pace as well. So, you know, if you're just roaming around and stuff, you're not always going to get pressurized into be fighting and But if you want to get a fight, you can jump into one quite quickly. So, yeah, I've liked the dogs side of it as well. So, yeah.
I was a few levels ahead of you last night, enough to get you killed, one-shotted.
Oh, yeah.
At level 27 now, which is working my way through the story.
That is a little bit of frustration that I've had.
Yeah.
It's when you get to the map and you see, and I found this on my own, I've got a sweet sort of loadout now where I've got a Soakum M1 that I'm using a lot, like a marksman rifle, and then I use either a submachine gun. I've got a Vector, or the other one's an M4 lightweight or something daft like that. And
level 30 before I get to that point. But there isn't that. There's about 8 things that you do in it. You know, you rescue some stupid hostages. You protect some gear in the middle of something. What else is there? What else the sort of stuff do you do?
You've got little funky ones like the drones and stuff.
Yeah,
and the tenders. They're like the minimal ones that you get XP for. But then you've got the contaminated zones. I like them timed ones where you've got to like.
What the frig is that bloody crate?
Yeah. You do the crates and then you get to the top and you've got to have a bit of a battle to upload the data. So yeah, I think they've done an all right job. And like the level where all the cleaners and stuff like that, you know, when you get the end bosses, they've been quite satisfying as well. So, yeah, I've enjoyed it.
What else have you been up to?
So the other stuff as well. My son, he's got a joint gamer tag, and it was his birthday last week. Little sidetrack here. I've noticed a big change in the way that, you know, kids perceive games compared to ourselves. I took him into a game shop, and whereas normally you'd walk straight up to where the boxes are, you might be looking at pre-owned or whatever the new releases are. My lad, whenever I take him to a game shop now, he just makes a beeline straight for where the cards are. You know, where
really?
You get the cards. Okay. And I don't know what it is. It's like, whether they see it as being like collectibles and stuff like that or whatever, but he straight away he wants to go and see what the cards are. You know, he's a big Minecraft fan. He loves Terraria, but anyway, he's got some birthday money, so we went in, and he picked up everything that he got was all on cards. So
wow, you know,
get the redeem code.
Scratch a code, go home, download it.
And he's completely comfortable with that. He's got, you know, he's not really got a concept of trading, but he knows it happens because we did it with all of his Skylanders stuff. He went off the boil with Skylanders, and we traded that all that stuff in after Christmas. He picked up he got the rear replay stuff, so I'm not going to bang on about all that. He seems to have a bit of appreciation for the older stuff, so that's good. But the one that was quite interesting that I've been playing along with him, just sat down talking to him and, you know, giving tactics, is he's playing Pixel Piracy. I don't know if anybody's heard of this. But it's a lot like Terraria, but it's a pirate game. And everybody's going, we need pirate games to come back and all of this, like after Black Flag and everything. Well, this one is like a lot like Terraria, but it's got an RPG side to it. So basically, you're a captain of a pirate ship. You've got a hub world where you can go and basically hire a crew. You get to build your boat, Minecraft style, which they love, and then you get to sail it off to islands or go and hit the seas and try and take over other boats. But there's weapons in it that you can pick up. You can upgrade them. You've got crafting in there. You've got a bookseller as well that will sell you skills, so you can apply skills to all your crew. Part of the sea battle stuff is you throw grappling hooks across ship to ship, and if you're having a battle, you might get flown up into the sky and end up in the water. Well, if you don't learn them the skill to swim, then you lose that crew member.
Rich, what's this on? Is this on PC or is it Xbox?
This is Xbox One. So, yeah. And, like, it's got, like, the simple pixel graphics and stuff, but it's got a lot of depth to it. When we was in the shop, I was like, are you sure about this? And I was like, got my phone out and was looking at all the reviews and stuff. And there's a lot of people that were saying, yeah, there's not enough instruction on it and so on, but that's been part of the fun for it, because when we started, we was getting stuck a lot. So I was, like, trying to give him strategy. Oh, you've got to get your guys trained up and everything. So, yeah, it's been a good game, and he's hooked on it now. That once he's learned about all this training and upgrading and getting new weapons, he's really into it. So, yeah, it's a good one. If you've got kids and they're into Terraria and stuff like that, well worth trying it. It's called Pixel Piracy. That's a nice one, that.
Well, yeah, I'm going to look that up.
Yeah,
I am too, for my kids.
It's a good one, that. And then
for me, I love pirates.
Yeah, pirates.
Who doesn't love pirates? I mean, you know.
The last one.
Been doing the Rocket League tournament. Played 3 matches now with Bri, Blue Baroo, on the Xbox. We are completely and utterly shite. Just like when we played Forza, when I used to play Forza, should I say. But it's a good giggle getting together with folks and then having a few rounds and stuff like that. We was that bad on the last game that we got hammered on the last game. And I don't know if these guys are from some other gaming community or whatever, but they were young. Yeah. Younger lads, what's the name? Phil was one of them. Anyway, you might go into the tournament stuff later, but they absolutely crucified us. And they were doing you could tell they could do the boost shots and everything. But by the end of it, me and Bri, because we was in a private chat, we were just taking a piss and we started setting up own goals and kicking it in our own stuff. But yeah, it's been good fun. We've only won 1 game out of 9.
Oh god.
Yeah, well, lots of fans of
that's
it.
It's making me nervous.
Yeah.
We'll get there. Mr. Primrose, Mr. Webster, what have you been up to?
Oh, he said he wasn't.
He's bailed.
Oh, he's not around. He's gone. He's gone.
No,
off.
Yeah, he left.
Okay. All right. Ah, that explains that then.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Well, look, the other sort of stuff that I've been up to, some Division. I finished the Stick Bowl storyline. Stick Bowl is bloody brilliant. It's like just 70s bad taste Swedish guys playing dodgeball. And with the 3 kids and me playing it, 4 of us together, playing it in this little arena. So not only are you doing sort of dodgeball stuff, but you'll be in an arena and a hot dog cart walks on and you can bump into the hot dog cart and it'll throw out a hot dog and you throw the hot dog as well. Or you'll be in a gym and somebody will come along cleaning the floor and it'll make that part of the floor slippy. So it slows you down. And then the story mode itself is very loose. I mean, every sort of, there's a cut scene. These guys speak in a sort of a Norwegian, Swedish gibberish that you can sort of make out what they're at, and you end up fighting the coach, your coach, and then you end up going to hell and fighting Mega Coach, and it's just absolutely crazy, but it just tickles my funny bone. I just love Stick Bowl, so play some Stick Bowl. It's cheap, play it, it's good. I also picked up, as I did, and I don't know how many times I've ever bought this sort of game, the old Namco arcade series, which just appeared on Xbox this week, and it includes Pac-Man, the original, Galaga, and Dig Dug, and just I had to get it, just to have Dig Dug again. Friggin' hell, Dig Dug is brilliant. Just classic 8-bit gaming, pumping up those little machines, the wee dragons and those little characters, and pumping them up until they burst, dropping rocks on their heads. I just love going back to that, and it's mid-80s gaming, it's just fabulous. And well, the Chivos kept on popping with it as well. So okay, that's good. Well, we've been getting through quite a few bits of games there. There has been some stuff going on in the world out there, and I don't know how much of you have heard or paid attention to. And some of the stuff that's been going out on there is more stuff about this the PS4 Xbox One upgrades, and some of the stuff and Grounded rumors and substantiated stuff that you would believe coming out of Giant Bomb this week about PS4. Seemingly the code name is Neo, for this new PS4.5, and some of the specs have came out, and the documents that came out were really aimed at developers, and the sorts of things that they were talking about, guys, were the machine, when it runs in Neo mode, the processor will be better, the graphics will be better, but there's a whole pile of different rules that developers have. Where in you have to, the original PS4, you'll have to be able to play the games with those. If there's you'll not be able to release a game that has bugs in one version or another. You'll not be able to release a version which is Neo mode only at this stage, and so there's a whole pile of stuff like that there. But it looks like this stuff is happening. And again, we've sort of talked it to death, I think, actually. It's just, it's whatever's going to happen is going to appear at E3 this year, between the NX from Nintendo, Xbox, if they're going to do something, and this PS4 4.5. I read today there that one of the big chip manufacturers have one of their stock reports have came out and said they've got three big orders for this particular type of chip, which is in the Neo. So it's probably in the NX and probably in the Microsoft consoles as well. So, yeah, E3 is going to be interesting. I'll ask you, but you probably go, yeah, whatever. Do you have any thoughts about this sort of stuff anymore that we haven't already talked about?
My thoughts are, how cheap is it going to be on the used market for the older ones?
Because yeah,
for me, with me being like 2 years in before I've jumped on an Xbox One, there's a lot of games out there that I could be sweeping up on a cheap older version of the console. So, yeah, I mean, that's what they say. They're saying the big thing is how they're going to keep everybody happy with it, because what they've got 32 million boxes out there. It's a pretty sweet move, really, because this is the point in the cycle where you've made your first price drops, which they have done, and they did them at Christmas, and now they're in the position, they're trying to, you know, looking like they're following the Apple template, but what they've got to try and do is they've got to try and get the people, at these just a chunk of this 32 million to start reinvesting.
Well, if you remember, a lot of people bought PS3s as a Blu-ray player.
Whether it's got the Ultra HD drive in it.
Yeah. So I think one of the marketing things they'll do with this is that it's 4K. Now, it'll not be 4K gaming. I don't believe that. I don't know if they'll be the content. But I think it'll be marketed as a 4K machine for these 4K Blu-rays, which are starting to come out again. And that'll be a cheap 4K Blu-ray player in the house. That'll be one tact. But it's a very dangerous and slippery slope that both companies, they could really alienate a lot of the gamers out there with this if they handle this wrong. But very brave, and I actually think that the whole 4 year cycle is more and more likely to be the way it's going to go. You know, so anyway. That's that. It's going to happen. E3 will all sort of come together. Other things that have happened this week: Microsoft have announced now that they've ceased production of the good old Xbox 360. It's saying goodbye after 10.5 years, and no more. They will be available stocks, whatever they are, in various different locales for a while. But that's the end of a run. That's a pretty good run for a piece of hardware. Isn't it?
Yes, very.
Yeah. And finally, the other sort of thing that's happened this week is that we were talking about Division. I got a nice little a message from Division that they're giving me some free stuff for bad service or bad online play or problems with online play. And there must be something free for me somewhere, but I think it went down. I think it's had a lot of trouble after the big update last week. But that's understandable with big games like that. They're going to patch stuff in. So, yeah, Division. Division. Anyway.
All right.
Okay, unless there's anything else you just want to add there.
I'm going to add what Richard typed in. He's out. He's got a migraine, so he stepped out, but he says he's still recording the show. But he said that Shuhei Yoshida said that there may be no PS5 standard new console release cycle stuff, but possibly just small upgrades. So
that's to add on
to that other PS stuff.
Yeah, it's what's Rich really said there. It is that sort of like the Apple, the mobile phone way of doing things. Mightn't be every year, but every 2 or 3 or 4 years now, we'll have a big step change and incrementals every 2 years or something like that. I think that's the way it's going to happen.
Like R&D and stuff like that. It's a quick and easy way of them getting new chips in boxes, keeping form factors the same, so manufacturing costs stay down. And then, you know, every couple of years, you can put a nice, shiny new box on it, make it look different, give it, like, smaller upgrades, and then make the book from it. But you've got to get the user base to start signing on board to it, first off. So it's a very precarious stage in what they're doing. Because whatever anybody says, this isn't a smartphone. You know, if you look at what people were, you know, when we was at the stage where we was talking long life cycles for a 360 and you were getting to the end of that, you just think back to what we were all like about the tech then and how many people were at the stage where they were starting to say, oh, well, sod it, I'm just going to go and get a PC. And then look at how many people have done that. If they don't get it right, you could see it going tits up. But, hey, let's wait and see.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be very interesting times this year, the announcements that are made. Okay, moving on. Jason Johnson. This is new, Rich. So if you'll see, Jason Johnson sent us some trivia in, and there's our podcast competition going on this week. I don't have access to the results, but I do know that Nicole is way ahead in the lead of the team. If you look at the show notes there, Rich, if you slide down, there's a bit in red for trivia answers. So when I ask the answer, you type in all at the same time. I'll go 1, 2, 3, and you hit the button, and you'll give me your answer. So we've got a couple of questions here. And the first question, if you're ready and down at that point on the podcast show notes, here we go. What is the name of your tribe in Far Cry Primal? Is it A, or number one, or whatever we A, Udam? U-D-A-M. You damn! B, Wenja, W-E-N-J-A. Izilla, I-Z-I-L-A. Or D, no tribe name given. So, is it Udam, Wenja, Izilla, or no tribe name given? Will you give me your answer now, please? A, B, C, or D? Press a friggin' button, Nicole. Press a friggin'.
I'm typing. I'm trying to pick something somebody else didn't pick. Oh, I am gonna lose.
Okay, so Richard is saying it was Wenja. Nicole is saying it's Udam, and Kim is saying it's D. No tribe name given, and the answer is B. Richard. Oh. Congratulations, sir. You've got it right.
Well.
You beat the Nicole. Next question. Which E3 event had the highest concurrent viewership last year? That's E3 2015. So how many viewers online did they have? Was it the most? Was it for Bethesda, Microsoft, Sony, or EA? Which E3 event had the highest concurrent viewership last year? Bethesda, Microsoft, Sony, or EA? Answers, please.
That's a good one. Damn it.
Okay, so Richard says Sony, and Kim says Sony, and Nicole says Microsoft.
I'm pulling a Robin.
Yeah, you're using logic. And I'd like to tell you that absolutely all of yous are wrong. EA actually had, this surprised me too, EA had the largest concurrent viewers. They had just over 840,000 concurrent viewers. Microsoft had 794,000 because it's the best. Nintendo had 615. Square had almost 600,000. So had Sony. And Bethesda, which surprised me, had 573. And Ubisoft there with 522,000. According to Game Industry Biz, which is odd, you know. Microsoft still has a big pull, yeah.
I think a lot of that is down to time slots.
Yeah, and Microsoft go first, but then again, Bethesda had that thing for Fallout last year, so.
Yeah.
There you go. Thank you very much, Jason Johnson. So Richard Primrose scores a point, and everybody else ducks out.
Big fat goose eggs.
Nicole, would you talk to us about new releases that are coming up for the next week, please?
Yes, I sure will. After I tell this thing that I don't want to do an update in the middle of the podcast.
No, right? Please, no. We've had enough trouble.
I know. I'm not doing an update. So the releases for the 23rd of April through the 29th of April, Corpse Party on PC for April 25th. And Hotaru no Niki, which is what the little symbols, the H-T-O-L with the pound sign, N-I-Q, is...
Look at you go.
I know. Yeah. The Japanese, Hotaru no Niki, wow. Which means the Firefly Diary. And that's
Nothing to do with Firefly, no?
No. Actual little critter. It's a little cartoony game. And that's on the 25th also. Aliens versus Pinball. Okay.
Yeah. It's an Aliens pinball table. It actually does, for pinball fans, it actually looks pretty cool.
We've played pinball before, and it was fun. So this one might be interesting. My kids might like it. But it's Xbox One, 360, PS4, PS3, PC, Mac, and iOS on the 26th. Also on the 26th is Alien Nation for the PS4. Hearthstone, Whispers of the Old Gods for PC, Mac, iOS, and Android. Hitman, Episode 2, Sapienza, Xbox One, PS4, and PC.
It'll be interesting to see how this goes down, because it's quite a short time, because the last one's only out about, or the first episode was only out about a month ago, so, and I think it had sort of mixed reviews, but if they keep on churning them out pretty quickly, instead of doing a telltale and it's every 4 or 5 months.
Yeah.
But, you know, if I'm going to buy it, I'll buy it at the end when they're all released, I think.
That's. I'm a binge player. I don't like to sit there and wait. It drives me crazy. All right, also continuing on April 26th, Hyper Devotion Noir, Goddess Blackheart on PC. King's Quest Chapter 3, Once Upon a Climb for Xbox One, 360, PS4, PS3, and PC. Ori and the Blind Forest Definitive Edition for the PC. Party Hard for Xbox One and PS4.
You say that, Nicole, and that's so funny because when we were at EGX last year, Stu and Chinny and I from Veteran Gamers and a few other of us were at the Party Hard stand. It was just one screen and a guy, chubby guy, demonstrating it, but two girls dressed as cheerleaders, and they were Eastern European, and their English wasn't very good, and everyone went, "Oh, look at this game, it's fantastic," and they kept going, "Oh yeah, party hard, fantastic game, play. So we all kept shouting Party Hard and started dancing around the booth, and it was like middle-aged men dancing around these cheerleaders. I'm sad. And Party Hard, yeah, you're at a nightclub and you kill people, and a pixelated thing. It was on PC, so it'll be interesting how it goes down. I don't think it's
Game
of the Year. Yeah.
Weird. All right, so continuing also April 26th, Rocket Birds 2 Evolution for PS4 and Vita. The Song of, is that Tyrum or Tyrum? I'm not sure. PC, Mac, and Linux. Stranger of Sword City for Vita. And on the 27th of April will be Duelist for the PC. Emerge Cities of the Apocalypse, also for the PC. And that about does it for our new releases.
Mixed bag this week. Okay, don't forget to go grab your freebies if you're not a member of PSN or Xbox Live. You should be, because you get free games every month, so there's lots of those. The stuff that's going on with me, again, a lot of Forza. I'm always playing Forza. The biggest thing there at the moment, we're doing shakedowns at the moment for the BTCCCC with the track racing forum guys. A lot of G4TE guys there and the track guys. This championship starts on the 4th of May. May the 4th be Forza with you at 9 o'clock. And do you know what? Chris Henwood has put so much time and effort into the paint jobs for these cars, the tunes for these cars, and the shakedowns this week were fantastic. We must have had 15 or 16 people racing in these at times. Absolutely brilliant. It's going to run for 26 weeks. So, you know, if you have Forza, it doesn't matter what your skill level is, just jump in and contact at the Henwood or at ParsnipNose3000, and there's still time, there's still space. Get involved. This is great crack. Good fun.
Great crack.
Okay, so Kim, our victory achieved stuff is going on there. Would you like to talk about victory achieved? Because I haven't seen any of these from Mr. Skulldugger yet. So let him know what it is so we can start doing some victory achieves.
Alrighty, will do. Our victory achieves are, if you beat a game, you can take a selfie. Of course, that includes you, with the end scene or the credits or whatever of the game. And then you can send it to our Twitter, which is G4TEDOTCOM, spell the dot. It's important. Otherwise, we won't get it. And we'll run you through a contest, and if you win, you'll get 20 space bucks, whether that be PlayStation, Xbox Live, or Steam.
Ooh.
Yeah, so, you know, come get you some free money.
I'll do it when I finish your game.
Here's a problem finishing games.
That's true. That's my problem anyway. That's why I'm not on here very often.
Because he has a problem finishing games as well, that lad.
Yeah.
Tomb Raider.
Yeah. I don't even start at that one. And so our victories achieved for the 23rd are John Mouse with Uncharted 2, Callie Burnham with King's Quest, A Night to Remember, Callie Burn again with Sly Cooper, Thieves in Time, Amorous 89 with The Secret of Monkey Island. I wonder what The Secret is. Amorous 89. Nope, I just read that one. Whoops. Pilch Reed with Minecraft Story Mode Season 1. John Mouse with Gauntlet. Companion Cube with The Wolf Among Us. Murphy's Law with Quantum Break. It's about time. Callie Burnham with Bioshock Infinite Burial at Sea 1 and 2. And John Mouse again with Uncharted 3. Mm. Congratulations, everyone.
Lots of completions this week. Okay, the other little addition to the that is my little completion chart. So, for every game completed, if that's a game over 4 hours, I'm assigning a point. If you can play an iOS game or DLC, if it's under 4 hours, you'll get half a point. And the way it's kind of working is, for every full point, I'm giving a dollar to extralife.org, and we do our 24-hour gaming later on this year. So at the moment, we've got $135 raised, just over that, which is absolutely fantastic from the beginning of the year. And there's been some movings on the charts this week. So Amras only had one extra completion this week. But Caliber M is really on a charge. He's went up to 15.5, so he's chasing down Amras right now. Companion Cube is also in double figures in 10. Mr. Maigo on 8. Sarah, RCGC is on 7. And again, John Moy with the 3-odd completions this week is now up to 7.5. And there's 37-odd people in that list right now. So thanks very much. I want to get that. I'd love to see $1,000 going into Extra Life for completions this year. So it's really important. Complete your game. You get put into the draw for Victories Achieved once every 3 months. And this year, we're also raising money for kids. This is something extra. So now, this week has been a really strange week, and last week as well. This whole, got to bring it up, Team Natris. I am confused. So our good friend Richard Natris, yeah? Our little pint-sized dynamo friend who lives in Boss Wave Land. There's a fan club has started up for Team Natris. And at first, stupidly, maybe on my part, I thought this was him. Just going, the fame and fortune of podcasting has just went to his head, and he'd set up the at Team Natras tag on Twitter. And I was hooked in, hook, line, and sinker. But I don't think that is him at all. I think it's somebody else. Mm-hmm. And I have a good idea who it is. I have a good idea who it is. But I'm not sure. Can you help me? Can somebody please tell me who is Team Natras?
I have to go look at my Twitter, but I was having a conversation with them, so.
Okay. Well, you can tell me after the show.
With some cliche then.
Yeah.
It's very funny. It's.
You don't know this, right? I know Mr. Natras from when I was at school, and it was the completely most coincidental thing ever, because he fired a tweet out when I think it was I was just doing podcasts and just about finishing Overseas Connection, and I recognised his second name, and I just thought he said something along the lines of "Good to see a Nottingham lad on a podcast" or something, and I was like, I sent something back saying, "You haven't got a sister called Paula, have you?" he's the younger brother of somebody who used to live up the road from me years and years back, and I could not believe that somebody in the middle of Twitter had found it. And now he's on the boss wave with all the lads. So
yeah, and you know, he's brilliant. Wee Richard is fantastic. He's a great wee personality. He's funny. And he's a really nice guy in real life as well. So.
He's Knox, lad. Anybody from Knox is always cracking. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Sort you out. Nice, social people we are.
And I think if Nicole ever gets a hold of him, she's gonna shake him to death.
What? Why? No. I love everybody.
Yeah, well, so the Team Natras thing, it's kind of funny, but, you know, just don't play with the bongo, because bongo got confused.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Nicole, talk to me a little bit about the stuff that's been going on. There has been a lot of chat about these True Skills games, guys. Yeah?
Yes.
And I've fair play to them. I've listened to True Skills a few of the episodes this week, and it's a great wee podcast. It's great, and they're very slick. And the presenter is absolutely professional, really, really good. They've got wee sound bites and all the other bits and pieces. It's good, and they discuss good stuff, and they pick a game, an iOS game I've seen now, and they play it, and they all discuss it, and it's a really good podcast. So check that out. But Step J is one of the main guys in there as well. Congratulations, Step J, on the Bobby. They've came with a bit of a challenge for the G4T guys. Talk to me a bit about what that is.
They posted that they wanted to just have some friendly gaming together, but I think it's become more of a competition. And they were looking for a little 4v4, and it looks like we're going to be doing this in June. And they picked Rocket League and Halo and something else. For whatever reason, no matter how many times we suggest Gears, they always say no.
It's terrible.
I know. They even say, "Oh, we'll play Forza." I'm like, I can route race your asses in a real car, but I can't do it on a stupid console. So,
yeah, well, that'd be a good crack. I think it'd be good fun if we had lots of games that maybe some of us are good at and some of us aren't so good at, and you had points as an overall thing for a competition. I think that would be good fun, and we'd get the community all involved in that too.
Oh, it'd be great. So,
now, that sort of leads into this new app that's available on Xbox One called the Gfinity app. Now, I've downloaded it. I haven't looked much at it, but I believe this Gfinity app is used for communities to set up competitions and esports stuff and stuff like that there. So that's needed, and hopefully that app will work well. We'll talk more about that next week, I'm quite sure. I look forward to attacking the True Skills guys to see if they actually have true skills.
I just called this podcast, and I'm trying to subscribe to it now.
Yeah.
TRU.
Yeah.
Yeah, S-K-I-L-L.
Yeah, all one word.
All one word.
Can't find it.
But
you will.
Yeah,
it's there. Here. Yeah, I'll send you a link to it.
I'll get there.
Okay.
Yeah, it's True Skill Games on Twitch. True Skill Games on Twitch, yeah. If you want to go.
Brilliant. Superb. All right. So, look, thank you very much, guys. You know, the people that are listening, I'm sorry this has been a bit of an oddball. I think our stream has went down, stuff we got there, and this is more old school. So thanks for listening. Thanks for trying to tune in if you tried. Sorry we had some technical problems with Tinternet tonight. But if you want to get involved, please, usually at 11 o'clock UK time and whatever those American times are, at twitch.tv/G4TE, you can find us there.
Our time this week because the president's over here.
Yeah, that's what it is. So yeah, maybe they've all. It's all happened. Probably the same time.
Yeah,
probably all the same time. America's moved forward because Obama. The time zone follows Obama around. Is that what we mean? Wherever he goes, that's the time it actually is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, do you know what? Sorry. And his wife has came with him this time, and I kind of think is it sort of the last hurrah? So she's trying to get as many wee trips in as possible before they're kicked out. Anyway, you can email the show at podcast@g4te.com. You can tweet us at oc_podcast.com. And we have our fantastic Facebook group, which is always very popular. And you'll find it at fb.g4te.com. Or just search for G4TE, you'll find us. So you can always donate, as we've mentioned before, and leave us a review on iTunes or Stitcher. It'll be absolutely lovely. All right. So, guys, if you'd like to do a wee shout-out, Rich, thank you very, very much for coming on again. Sorry it was disjointed for you.
Just like coming back. It's normal. That's the way it's always been. Disjointed.
If you could give us
at the helm, so, yeah.
I would like to give out your Twitter handle, your Xbox gamer tag, please, again, and stuff for SoundCloud, stuff like that there, so people can find your fantastic mixes and bits and pieces out there as well.
Well, don't worry about that. We'll just talk about games. It's OC_SchoolDuggera. That's with one L. Facebook, I'm on there. That's just Rich Primrose. So, that's me. Do we do shout-outs still?
Give us a shout-out.
I'm going to shout out. I didn't want to go into detail when we were talking about games, but Jackbox, I think, is absolutely brilliant on the Xbox as far as family games concerned. Integrating smartphones with the Xbox so seamlessly, wicked. Other people need to do that. Has anyone played it?
No, I don't know. God, there's so many little games now. It's fabulous.
But Jackbox is like, you don't know Jack. You ever played that?
Love that game.
Yeah. Well, Jackbox, it was 15 quid, and basically you don't need buzzers or anything now. You just pick, and everybody in your house has all got a smartphone now or a tablet. So you just use them as a buzzer. And all it does is you put the game on, turn it on, go into a lobby, and it'll give you a code. You type that code in to a website, and then you're in. And you just got to put your answers in. And it's got some wicked games in it. So diverse and different. There's stuff like Pictionary, but then there's other ones where you've got to bluff and give wrong answers and stuff. Really good. Recommend it. Try that. That's been great. That is a family game. Hearthstone, that's and Brian, Blue Baru.
Yeah, Brian, I've got to know him a bit more now. He's racing in the Forza Championships now. So, he's a nice lad. Nice lad.
Yeah, so, shout out to all of them.
Okay, Kim, would you like a wee shout?
Oh, sure. Well, again, you guys, for showing up and doing this again. Even though with all our little screw-ups and karma and hiccups and everything else, still did well. All our shatters that stuck around and didn't leave us with all our technical difficulties. Thanks for tuning in and listening to the show, because without you guys, there would be no reason to do the show.
The arcade stuff that we all bought, brilliant, really good. And then two guys that I know that I'm always talking to on Twitter and stuff, whether it be about music or games, were Andy Cott and Brian, Blue Baru.
Yeah, Brian, I've got to know him a bit more now. He's racing in the Forza Championships now. So, he's a nice lad. Nice lad.
Yeah, so, shout out to all of them.
Okay, Kim, would you like a wee shout?
Oh, sure. Well, again, you guys, you know, for showing up and doing this again. Even though with all our little screw-ups and karma and hiccups and everything else, still did well. All our shatters that are that stuck around and didn't leave us with all our technical difficulties. You know, thanks for tuning in and listening to the show, because without you guys, there would be no reason to do the show. And last but not least, and even though he'll never hear it, my dad's 65th birthday will be Monday. So happy birthday, Dad.
Happy birthday, Dad.
Yeah. Yay. So. Yeah.
Stop climbing those ladders.
No shit, right? You're scaring the crap out of me. Giving me the gray hair that he's supposed to be getting, so. Well. Yeah. How about you, Nicole?
I'm going to wish your dad happy birthday, too. But also, Renu, her birthday is today, a Shiny's wife.
Happy birthday!
So, happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday to her. She's so much fun to game with as well. To my kids for putting up with me doing this on their day, their weekend, because I get them 2 weekends in a row, so they were like, yeah, go ahead. And, of course, to all of our lovely shatters, to Teflon for giving us these quizzes that I love so much.
Yeah, you did so well.
I can't win them all. I mean, come on now.
Just gotta give us a chance.
I know, right? I gotta wait for y'all to pick up. Make it challenging. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Right there. And yeah, I think, and to Richard, poor Richard, who got a migraine in the middle of the show, I hope he feels better. And to Mark, who was being a gentleman and let me come and talk about Gears. So y'all can find me Amaranth on the Xbox, Amaryllis on the PS4 and Steam, and OC_Amaryllis on Twitter. And catch that video of my beautiful glitchy game if you follow me on Twitter. All right, so that's it for me.
Okay, that's good.
You, Robin?
Yeah, well, I want to shout out Team Nadras for the fun that I've had on Twitter over the last week or two. I want to shout out William Wagner in Facebook right now. And I have to read out the post for that William Wagner has just posted on Facebook just recently. And I think it sums up our community perfectly. William writes on Facebook, "Starting a new game feels like unwrapping Christmas presents, or what I imagine touching a boob is probably like." Classic, William. Oh, dear. If that is true, that is the saddest thing I've ever read. I would like to shout out my wife, Judith. She'll never listen to this either, probably. We are married 19 years this Monday. So happy anniversary, darling.
Happy anniversary.
Years.
Nice.
So I'm going to go upstairs now. I know it's 1 a.m, but I'm going to elbow her and get my anniversary present. Not
you won't make it to your 19th if you do that.
I don't think so. So you'll catch me at
you'll get a Dutch oven, mate.
A Dutch oven. Fuck all squared, I'll get. At Bongo the Sane, that's where you'll get me. Thank you very, very much everybody for listening. Greg is also away next week, and I believe Canada will be to blame for the podcast next week, and I think Fraser is hosting next weekend. So please go out there, have a great, safe, and wonderful gaming week, and we'll do this all again next week. And this is the moment when we press the outro music, but I think we should all start singing Little Red Corvette right now. I guess I should have known the way you parked your car sideways that it wouldn't last. Anyway, guys, thanks very much. We're out of here. Thank you now. Bye, y'all.
Bye.
There you go.